Well, we're looking at a passage in the book of Jeremiah. So we will read the verses that we've been asked to consider this evening. In the book of Jeremiah, and we're reading from chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. I guess we've got a few different Bible translations. I'm going to read from the authorized version this evening because that's the one I have in my mind for this particular passage of scripture, having gone through a Bible memory program based on this some long time ago. So Jeremiah 31 verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Amen. Now the title that we've been given this evening is All Things New. All Things New is a little phrase that you find in Revelation 21 and verse 5, where the one who is seated upon the throne says, Behold, I make all things new. Things don't become stale with God. He makes all things new. And the one thing that we are going to look at today that is new is a new covenant. In the week leading up to Christmas, I completed a study of my own on the covenants of Scripture. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean I've learned everything there is to learn about the covenants of Scripture, because it isn't like that. We can always learn more from the Word of God. But I spent some time studying the covenants that are found in Scripture and reached a point where I put my books away and notes away. And that very same evening, after my study, Paul phoned me and he said, I've got your subject for when you come to preach in January. And it is a new covenant. Well, I thought that was remarkable. I must say it's not going to be easy this evening for us to cover the subject in the time available, because it is a big subject and we'll have to go through it quickly. But I trust at least there will be a little insight that we will have into the covenant, the new covenant. Verse 31 of Jeremiah 31 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now that's the main verse that we're going to be looking at. And to begin with this evening, first of all, I think we ought to start with a definition of covenant. What is meant by covenant? It may be that you are vaguely familiar with legal documents. You may be purchasing a property, you're buying a house. And the solicitor says to you, I'm going to have to see if there are any restrictive covenants. Any things in the document that cannot be changed. Now, when we come to the Bible, a covenant is a solemn promise to fulfill a pledge, or a solemn pledge to fulfill a promise. There are two kinds of covenants in Scripture. There are conditional covenants and there are unconditional covenants. A conditional covenant goes like this. I will do such and such if you do such and such. That's conditional. An unconditional covenant says, I will do such and such, and there are no strings attached at all. Now, when God makes a covenant by grace, that covenant is unconditional. No conditions at all. God makes a promise and God will keep the promise that he makes. In Bible times, when two parties entered into a covenant, it was the stronger party that would lay down the terms. Well, of course, when God makes a covenant, he is stronger than mankind. He is the one who lays down those terms. What can we say next about previous covenants? Because obviously there were. This verse 31 speaks of a new covenant. Well, if there is a new covenant that is going to be made, there must be something that existed already. What was it? Very quickly, I want to trace some references of earlier covenants in the Old Testament. You may care to turn to them, you may prefer to listen. I'm not going to actually read the verses, but paraphrase them for time. The first one is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. This is the first mention of covenant in the Bible. And the Lord is speaking to Noah in Genesis 6:18, and he says, I'm going to establish my covenant with you. And you will come into the ark, and your wife, and your sons, and their wives. I covenant to keep you safe in the ark. That's the first reference. And a little further on in Genesis 9:13, God says to Noah, I'm going to put the rainbow in the cloud, and that is a token, a sign of the covenant. The rainbow being a sign of the covenant. That's the first. The second covenant we can think of is to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. Early in Genesis chapter 17, God says to Abraham in verse 2, I will make my covenant between me and you. And God's covenant with Abraham is that he would give him many, many descendants. To which Abraham fell on his face and almost in disbelief, he said, how can this be when I am old? But God said, you are going to be the father of many nations. And a little bit further in Genesis 17, the Lord says to Abraham, I'm going to establish my covenant with you and with your descendants. And it will be an everlasting covenant. And I'm going to give you this land. Where you are now, the land of Canaan is going to be your land. And this is going to be an everlasting covenant. If this is an everlasting covenant, it goes beyond the time of Abraham, and therefore it is unconditional. The covenant God made with Abraham was unconditional. A little further on, we have another covenant in Exodus. A third one in Exodus 19, verse 5. But I want you to notice a big difference here. Exodus 19:5, God is speaking to Moses and through Moses to the people of Israel. And he says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. You will be a special people unto me, for all the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Straight away, as we think of that covenant that God made with the people of Israel through Moses, it was conditional. Not unconditional like the covenant earlier with Abraham. Here was something conditional. Because God says, if you obey my voice, it's all depending upon that. The condition depends upon their obedience. A little later on, we have something that is called the Palestinian covenant, which you read of in Deuteronomy chapter 30. You won't find the word covenant actually mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 30, but clearly there is a covenant because God is undertaking to do something for his people. And God makes a promise to them. And it's set in the context of God's people Israel being scattered from their land and dispersed among the nations. And God says to them, if you return to the Lord, when you return to the Lord, when you obey his voice and repent of your idolatry that led you away, and when you come back to him, then the Lord will turn your captivity again. He will have compassion upon you. He will gather you back. He'll bring you back from all the nations where you've been gathered. Here again is something that God would do for his people Israel. That was known as the Palestinian covenant, restoring them to their land after exile. And one other previous covenant that we ought to consider, it helps us to understand, is a covenant that God made with David. You read of this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13. David wanted to build a temple in Jerusalem for the Lord. And the Lord says to David, no, I'm not going to allow you to do that, but your son Solomon will build the temple. But listen, David, 2 Samuel 7:13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Forever. So here's something unconditional again, because it goes beyond Solomon, on forever. A little further on in 2 Samuel 7:16, the Lord speaks to David and he says, your house, your kingdom will be established forever. Your throne is going to be established forever. Now there's a very important point that we need to grasp, which is this. God has not finished with Israel. There are people today who will tell you that he has. God has not finished with Israel. There are unconditional promises that he made with Israel. Promises concerning a throne that would be occupied by a king and that would continue. And promises also concerning a land that would be theirs. Those are part of previous covenants. Well, we can now come to a contrasted covenant, because we're in a position to look at the text that we've read in Jeremiah 31, 31 and 32. And let's look at these words. The Lord says, behold, the days come. He's talking about something in the future. The days come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now obviously, if God is making a covenant with the house of Israel, he means the house of Israel. And if God is making a covenant with the house of Judah, he is making that covenant with the house of Judah. And it's not for us to try and interpret it differently and say God means something differently from what he plainly says. Because there's a contrast in the next verse. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. The fathers of these people who God is making a new covenant with, their ancestors were under an old covenant. And it's the covenant when God led them out of the land of Egypt. That was the covenant that he made with Moses and with the people of Israel. A covenant that was conditional. They did not fulfill it. They were disobedient. And God says here, they broke my covenant, although I was a husband unto them. I was like a husband to these people. I was faithful to them. But they proved unfaithful to me. They departed from me. They broke my covenant. They were guilty of apostasy. And as Jeremiah wrote these words, the nation was in apostasy. This was just before the Babylonian captivity took place. So this verse is not some sort of reward for the faithfulness of these people. Not at all. Not at all. God is speaking graciously to them. There's a contrast with the covenant that God made with Moses and with the people of Israel, which was conditional. This new covenant is replacing that. And my friends, this new covenant has not yet been fulfilled. It is something yet future. It's going to be fulfilled after that coming great tribulation, when the people of Israel are going to be regathered into their land. Look a little more closely with me at what God says in verse 33 and 34. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord. So we're looking ahead into the future. After those days, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. The old covenant was written on tables of stone. God says, I'm going to make a new covenant, and it's going to be written on the hearts of my people. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There's going to be a relationship between me and my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. They won't need to. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Somehow people in the future will naturally know the Lord. They won't need to be taught to know him. They will experience the wonder of his forgiveness. And God in his grace will remember their sin no more. What a contrast to the covenant made with Moses. But what about the new covenant in the New Testament? Someone will say to me, well, there's a new covenant in the New Testament. When we come to the Lord's table and remember him, didn't Jesus say, this cup is the new covenant or New Testament in my blood? Yes, he did say that. And these verses in Jeremiah are quoted in Hebrews. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 8, where these same verses are quoted. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. And here we have this contrast again. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. There was a problem with that first covenant. Things didn't work out as they could have worked out. That's why it was replaced by a second covenant. For finding fault with them, he said, and here's the quotation, from the beginning of verse 8 onwards, you'll recognize these words quoted from Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. End of quotation. That's what the writer to the Hebrews has quoted. Why has he quoted that whole section? Well, verse 13 tells us, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. When the writer to the Hebrews wrote these words, there was a temple standing in Jerusalem. Animal sacrifices were being offered on it. And the writer to the Hebrews says that's the old covenant, and it's ready to disappear. It's about to disappear. And God has brought in a new covenant. You notice in these verses, it does not say anything about the new covenant being fulfilled in the church today. It doesn't say that in Hebrews 8. It doesn't say that the church has replaced Israel or anything like that. In fact, if you look at verse 11, you'll see that this hasn't yet been fulfilled, has it? Can we say today that we don't need to tell people to know the Lord because everyone automatically knows the Lord? Of course not. That hasn't been fulfilled. Clearly, that quotation from Jeremiah is something that is yet future. You see, the new covenant in Jeremiah that God made with Israel is not identical to the new covenant that we find concerning the church. But both are similar. Both of those covenants, the new covenant to Israel and the new covenant to the church, both of them are related to grace. Both of them are totally undeserved. That's what we need to understand. There is a big danger that we can fall into the trap of thinking that all the Word of God has been written directly to us. Well, if we think that all the Word of God has been written directly to us, We're making out that we are very important, and in fact we're making ourselves over important. We have to understand that Israel featured in the past in the purposes of God, and Israel will feature again in the future in the purposes of God. Unconditional covenants that God has made have not been withdrawn. Unconditional covenants that he speaks about going on forever will be fulfilled. But we can rejoice now in God's purposes, and we can rest upon his promises. God will carry out what he has said he will do. And we can see interesting things happening in the world today. Now, I realize this has been a very hurried look at the verses in Jeremiah, the new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. But as we draw to a close, let me say this. Although that new covenant was made directly to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah, and it was for them, there's still an application that we can make to ourselves. Is it not true that God wants to write his word in our hearts? Of course he does. Is it not true also that God wants us to know him? Yes, of course it is. He wants us to know him. Does God not want to forgive our iniquity and remember our sins no more? Yes, of course. We rejoice in all of that this evening. And surely we can say all of these things that we think of are by God's grace. We don't deserve them. And a little later we'll be remembering the death of our Lord Jesus Christ through the bread and the wine. And all the blessings that we have stem from the work that he did at Calvary. We're going to sing a hymn.